11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've tried to be a little more conscientious about the clock.
You've got, yeah, good day today.
So
I think we've identified maybe what the problem is.
Yeah, you.
I don't know. I'm here today, and we're on the clock. So is it me?
It is.
Okay.
It is. As much as I'd like to blame Jesse.
Here I was trying to give Riley a bunch of props for keeping us the clock and hitting the buttons. And
Jesse does a great job. I know he's working today, so I don't want to take unnecessary shots at him.
He's a little stressed. He's a little stressed.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. We all are. Everybody's got challenges. Again, we did have some clock management issues yesterday. But last night, I saw Tommy, who was in our draft group. I think he's from Maguanago, too. And he drives a truck. So and he makes a lot of stops.
Okay.
You're making all the stops? You're Batman. And so he's in and out of his vehicle. And it got me thinking, hey, sometimes when we go a little long, which Bulaga's a special case. He's just different. But when we go long, then we got to try and make up time. Then it's possible that you get, like, me telling you about Fleet Farm and Steinhoffels, you talking about Johnson & Sons paving, and you don't get a lot of Packers talk or nonsense. So I'm trying to be more conscientious. But another thing that happened last night, in addition to Tommy, kind of giving me a good reminder about that, was I talked about the excitement and enthusiasm and it being authentic about this defense. And what I said was, is that, as you've probably heard me say once or twice, not only that I like Jordan, but that I'm not a fan. And yet, I have to be honest, I am fascinated and excited to see what this defense really is. Because as you've pointed out, this is the time of puppy dogs and ice cream and seashells and balloons and talking about how star-spangled awesome everything is. But the defense has given the offense and Jordan Love some fits. Jordan Love and the offense have had their moments where they've won as well. But the defense has had a pretty good camp. And the enthusiasm that these players have, you booked, because that's what you do, you book guests, Kenny Clark a couple weeks ago, right before he then got his extension, after he made it sound like maybe he was playing his last season in Green Bay, which, by the way, he got a huge kick of when I, out of when I said, hey, man, love having you on. Did you know this was going to happen? Because Tausch and I, you hung up, and we were like, oh, man, this could be Kenny's last year. And then, like, 36 hours later, he got an extension. And, oh, he delivered like a, who was your old teammate that had the great laugh?
T-Palm.
He delivered a Tony Palmer-esque laugh. Like, I got you guys.
As he
we
should,
got
yes. Yep.
But the enthusiasm he has that for the first time in his NFL career, which includes three Pro Bowl selections, he's going to be able to attack. I mean, other than when he would do it against Minnesota. And that excitement up front and the excitement in the back end where they're getting interceptions. I am curious for you, and you need to go back in your memory banks for this. But in I mentioned the 09 camp when Dom Capers came along. And look, Bob Sanders was a very nice man. And you guys did get to an NFC championship game.
Colonel Sanders.
Did you say Barry or Larry Sanders?
Who was the hard hitter for the Colts? Safety.
Bob Sanders.
Bob Sanders, too.
Not the same Bob Sanders that was running your defense in 06, 07, and 08. And you guys did get to an NFC championship game with him as a defensive coordinator. So I don't want to disrespect
Bob Sanders.
You're
very disparaging him, though. Yes.
Well, there was a lot of excitement about the new scheme in 09. Mm-hmm. What is your recollection? I know you're an offensive player. You weren't a defensive tackle. But
well,
what do you recall from that?
So, I was injured and not at camp in 09.
Oh, that's right.
Which I wasn't mad about.
Yeah.
I think when you kind of looked at that, it was more the personnel. And it just was fresh. I think a lot of times things can get a little stale. And you mm-hmm. need... It's not so much the scheme as much as it is who's playing the scheme and what the opportunities are. I think Charles Woodson obviously loved it because they centered him.
Right.
They put the scheme in for him, for mm-hmm. Clay and for BJ, because that's who they drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys were fit to it, and they were able to go and do their thing. When you have special talents, you know, Clay Matthews is getting into the Packer Hall of Fame in a couple weeks. Charles Woodson just got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You best get those board, let them be them, and then it's up to everybody else to figure out their role.
Okay.
And I really felt like 09 and in 2010 that was in play. And when you say it is time, those fellas need to make it happen. And Clay did. Charles did it a ton throughout that season. That's how you get special defenses. And then you let a Cullen Jenkins and a B.J. Raji figure out, oh, okay, well, they got to slide protections this way. Cullen Jenkins got to hunt because the other guys allowed him to. And, you know, to Dom's credit and everybody else's, you found guys that could fit those roles. Howard Green bull rushing a center guard combo back in, making a throw that Nick Collins was able to pick. It all fit because your talent made it fit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenges here, because I agree with you. I think this is the case. You know, you never want to follow a legend. There ain't anybody saying Joe Barry's a legend. And it really was, I think, Ed, you brought in a young Riley Yauch. I think people would have been like, I don't know a lot about this Yauchster. He's got a quill pen. That's
Quinn
all we know.
Yeah, sure.
But he's going to do something different than what the other guy did. So the approval rating of Jeff Hafley is very high right now. But I can assure you, if Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and the Eagles go to Brazil and just rout this group, there are going to be there'll be people saying, fire Hafley, hashtag. And I don't think people will get to the point of bring back Joe Barry at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But the excitement level is as high as I've seen it, and mainly because people were so fed up with what they saw with Joe Barry. And by the way, the players felt that way too. It's very obvious from the outside, listening to commentary from Kenny, from Rashawn Gary, from Ja, that they didn't buy into what was happening. And when you don't have buy-in from your best players, you have no chance to be a dominant defense.
So the enthusiasm matters. Because,
for
look,
sure.
I there was a little bit of, you know, Joe Barry's different, whatever, but it was nothing. It was not even in the same zip code as the amount of excitement that we are hearing expressed from these guys. And what I think, Tausch, is really interesting is one of the key words I keep hearing is disguise. And we'll talk a little more about the safeties with Louis Vuitton and the TJ Maxx bargain finds from the draft in the next segment. But I am curious, how much does enthusiasm matter? Like, talent outs. Denny taught us that. So you got to have talent, and they do. But how much is it just, you talked about buy-in just a second ago. Like, If you don't have that, does it really matter how much talent you have?
Well, yeah, talent still does out, and mm-hmm. guys will still make plays. But, you know, everybody assumes because on offense, one player can screw the whole thing up. You need everybody to kind of be on the same page. Defense, you can have a good defense with a couple of guys that are just dominant. You can't have a great defense if everybody isn't bought in to their role. And there's 100 examples of guys that maybe you don't think much of, but they do exactly what they're supposed to do. So that a great linebacker is freed up to go make plays. And a great defensive end allows the other defensive end that's maybe not as good to have more success because there's more attention paid to him. And as long as everybody understands that, that's the part of defense that I think gets left out. And that relentless effort that is the only way to be great is to have that. And some teams don't. And if you look at some of the stuff that happened the last couple years, and I am never one to question effort, from football players in this league. Uh-huh. But you can go and look at film about how willing people were to stick their nose in and make plays when it maybe wasn't exactly drawn up that way. And you'll see some big plays that happen when guys weren't. In this league, it ain't over until you're in the end zone. So you have to be willing to stick your nose in and compete and get down there and make plays. And it can't just be, oh, shucks, I got beat. Oh, well. And I thought there was a little bit of that, especially in the middle part of last season. Got better as the season went, and it, you know, it does when guys believe that something great can happen. Maybe they up their game.
No doubt.
Well, you have to have that throughout the season, and that's where that buy-in and chemistry comes into play.
All right, I want to talk a little more about the safeties and the idea of disguising and what impact that has on quarterbacks, but maybe even on offensive linemen. We'll get to that coming up, and then we'll have Whoa Riley and Feel Good Friday still ahead. Want to remind you, it's the final weekend of Steinhoffel's Buy More, Save More sale. It's the best time to refresh your whole house because the more you buy, the more you save. Last chance to take up to $300 off your purchase of a bedroom set, dining room set, sofas, home office, sink, all those kinds of great things, and so much more. And when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing, you make your dream room that much more affordable. It's the Buy More, Save More sale, which ends this Sunday, only at Steinhoffel's. So shop in-store, or you can do it online at steinhoffels.com. Disguising, a brilliant disguise, as Bruce Springsteen once sang. Easy for me to say. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch. Coming up next. Riley, are you prepared for this?
Yeah, I'm feeling
pretty
prepared.
What do you got for us? Love stories, UFC talk, wrestling,
well,
imitations?
I will say, I will hint that it's wrestling combat sports adjacent. It's more related to myself and my experience with them.
So. Well, that'll be good. Is Katie going to join us?
I don't believe so.
Have you negotiated on our behalf for the next time you're filling in for Jesse, which could be as soon as Monday?
Yep.
Have you negotiated an appearance by her on the show yet?
You know, I've attempted to. However,
she is adamant
that she will not appear. I do think I could get her dad on.
Why is she adamant? She just doesn't want to.
She doesn't want to. It's not her thing.
What do you mean it's not her thing?
Like, she doesn't really do public speaking or talking in front of people.
Okay.
She's a little more reserved.
Okay. After you missed her birthday, I was afraid that you weren't going to be her thing anymore.
So was I. But that's neither here nor there. I think I could get her dad on.
Okay, what does he bring to the table? Other than fandom of our program? He's a bigger fan of our show than he is of you?
Potentially. Yeah. I'll have to talk to him about that next time I see him. But he could give some good insight.
Hot takes, maybe?
Yes.
If you said Mr. And you don't have to give his last name. Mr.
Smith.
Duod.
Mr. Katie's dad.
Mr. Duod. I need a minute to talk to you about potentially asking your daughter for her hand.
Oh, here we go.
Do you think he would be excited or repulsed by that process?
I think he'd be excited. At this point in time, he'd be very skeptical given
Premature.
Given that I don't have the most stable income, but I do think he'd be excited.
Appreciate your honesty with that. How much do you make a year?
No comment.
Can you help me understand the last name you conjured up there? What was that? Duod?
Duod?
Yeah, what is that?
Is that an acronym? No, it's just, it's a dude. So you just say Duod. Mr. Duod. Yeah, there was nothing like...
Like hoo-wah.
Yeah.
Hoo-wah. All right. All right. Duod. Okay. All right. I don't believe you.
How would you feel as your daughters are going to start dating? How would you feel if she came back and said, boy, I really like this guy, and 6 months later, the Duod asks you to marry your daughter? Like, at the age of like 22, 23, would you be skeptical, or would you say, hey, man, it's my daughter's life, I'm in.
No, I'd be concerned.
Okay.
I think life experience is extremely valuable. And I'm sure there are lots of high school sweethearts out there that can text us on the talk and text line about how great their marriages are and how they found the person that they loved when they were a sophomore in high school. For others of us, there's a little more process. And I look back on some of the folks in my history, and I'm sure they look at the same at their history with me and think, boy, I'm glad I didn't marry that guy.
Okay.
Just a thought. What about you? I love to ask these questions. You never answer them.
Well, because sometimes you always complain to me about how you don't get questions asked and why you're so much more interesting on other shows. And then I ask questions, and you just can't answer a question and move on. You have to always, because I don't know what it gets about you, but that's just how you operate. So you can't have it both ways.
I can, actually. And you never ask any, like, real Packers questions, which are what all those other shows do. But that's fine.
Okay.
Again, what I would do with my daughter being asked to get married by a young Riley-esque suitor at age 22 or 23.
I said someone that they met and they've been hanging out with for 6 to 8 months.
Okay. So how do you propose?
I don't know what I would do. I'm not at that point in my life where I'm thinking. Well, I'm not at that point in my life where I'm thinking about it. Well, your kids are older.
Not by much.
Let me tell you something. 3-4 years in this world is a big deal.
It is. And so are 8 years. We're coming up on our 8th anniversary, I believe, this week.
I think we've passed that already.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was August 2nd, which I think
I hope
today.
You have a better idea of what your wedding anniversary is than ours. All right. So here's my question. We're hearing a lot about disguise. We're hearing a lot about how when you make the quarterback make post-snap decisions, it makes it a lot harder on him. We're talking about Evan Williams got in a tiny bit of trouble with the head coach. Because he had mentioned to one of our reporters.
He named names.
He did not, but the reporter did. And in a very innocuous way, one of my colleagues, I don't want to put his name on the street because he and I talked afterward, and he felt a little bad. And I said, you have nothing to feel bad about. You don't.
Of course not. You're never going to say anything bad about a press member.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, that's
thank
what you just
you.
Said.
So Evan Williams told him that there are plays that basically Xavier McKinney decides right before the snap if he's going down into the box against that play or if he's sending his running mate. And LaFleur, after the reporter mentioned this, I'm glad Evan is telling you all of our secrets, which he did sound a little perturbed, frankly. But how is Evan Williams supposed to know that he's not supposed to say that?
I'm always confused by that. Less is more. Don't talk about other players. Talk about yourself.
And he is. Like, he's one of the people being told whether to go down there or not.
You don't give up trade secrets. I mean, if you're not going to allow people to video practice, if you're not going to allow people to come watch OTAs, you have to understand that. So kudos to whomever this press guy is that got that out there. But now I'm certain that Jeff Hafley and LaFleur are like, this was supposed to be a little bit of a bombshell surprise, and now it's not. So you guys ruined their Christmas. This is what
fault.
You did.
Yeah. In fairness, again, the only possibility is to say, hey, some of the guys were saying, and leave Evan's name out of it. But that's a tough needle to thread there. The bottom line is, they are predicating a lot of that safety stuff.
Did Jeff Hafley have a conversation with the safeties? Shut the blank up.
I don't know that.
I would bet that he did.
Maybe. My question for you, because this kind of snuck out there, is how troubling is that for opposing offenses?
Like, well, anytime you can disguise things and make it tough, and you know, especially late at the end of snap, O-line, you're always trying to count. Okay, this is the group we have. And then you need to communicate that to a wideout or a running back or the quarterback as far as who's going to be the unblocked guy. And that's how you can do that. So a lot of times I think it's really easy when, you know, we're going to sit in two shell and, okay, we're going to run the football. We'll base that off of, well, if the three technique is really good, maybe we'll run it the other way. Or the center has a hard time reaching the nose, so we have to bring the guard down. And then that kind of, you're always looking for good angles, and you're always looking, how can we block this up and get it where you have the running back on the safety? That's your goal as an O-lineman, is get him there. That means it's a 4 or 5 yard run with the potential to be a big boy run. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is, you know, also from a quarterback standpoint, this is not my area of expertise, but from a quarterback center standpoint, safeties tell you where blitzes are coming from. Safeties will tip what's happening coverage-wise. And the longer you can hold that, the more miscommunication you can have on the offensive side of the ball. And when you have that, free runner to the quarterback, strip sack, stracks. Mm-hmm. That's how you get stracks. Mm-hmm. That's how you get a wrong route that a safety sees and can jump for a pick six. It's any time you can confuse. If you ask a veteran quarterback, what they will know 90% of the time where the ball is going to go before you snap it. It's the 10%. If you can get that to 20, all of a sudden you double your opportunity of creating turnovers, in my opinion. That's where that comes into play, because offenses need to know that stuff. The sooner they can and diagnose it, the more mm-hmm. efficient they'll be. The less certainty that they have and the more adjustments that need to be made pre-snap. Well, I didn't hear that call. I didn't know that. I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. That's where a guy runs a wrong route. That's where somebody can squat on something. Well, I didn't squeeze that guy because I thought we were going here on the protection. Well, how does that feel, Jordan, when old boy just drilled you in the spleen and you're spitting up blood?
Not good.
Not ideal. So it's big. I guess a long way of answering that question, if you can disguise and do it well, it will increase your percentages of creating turnovers. And I firmly believe the reason Jeff Hafley is brought in, it wasn't because of all the other, it was because this group, with all these first-round picks that we talked about last year, the narrative has changed. How do we get this group more aggressive and playmaking? Because the days of sitting in an umbrella, not giving up big plays, you as a defensive player now, you have to take it. You can't sit back. There's too many rules that are in place, and it's too easy if you're going to sit in soft coverages for teams to beat you methodically. Now, on the flip side of that, playing defense the way we all anticipate Jeff Hafley's group to play, you're going to take more chances, and when you do that, you give up big plays. Big plays get your blank beat in
this
league.
Yeah, that's trade-off, right?
That is it, and that's why you better have safeties that can that can tackle and run, because you might leave yourself vulnerable a little bit on some big play potential if you're going to play super aggressive, which is what I do believe this group is fixing to do.
Yeah, and remember, the Green Bay Packers had 7 interceptions last season as a team.
That stinks.
Only the Tennessee Titans had fewer.
And the Titans stunk.
One more, and
I think why people are excited, you just start factoring in how far and how good this group finished the season. And the key statistic that every coach harps on, turnovers.
Takeaways.
And when you don't have that margin, and by the way, Jordan Love, pretty good as a rookie protecting the football. When you can't create and you don't really, and the thing was, it wasn't like there were a bunch of balls on the ground that were, forced punching balls out. There wasn't even that many of those. There wasn't that many opportunities. It was kind of like, all right, give up 6 yards and make an average form tackle and just move on with our life. That ain't going to be what Hafley's looking for.
And also, when you think about them defensively, not only did they not get a lot of takeaways, but, again, they weren't aggressive in the critical moments of games and
on
third downs.
They played skirt too much.
Yeah.
Don't give up big plays, which, again,
right.
I can't argue
with
that.
And they didn't, in fairness to them.
But they gave up big conversions, and it wasn't we're dictating anything. It was don't allow this to happen, instead of let's go make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Halfley's going to be a let's go make this happen guy. At least we hope, or there's going to be hashtags afloating by about October.
I am intrigued by the safety competition next to the Louis Vuitton that they have in Xavier McKinney. I think it's going to be a fascinating competition, which will continue throughout the remainder of training camp. But again, they've got options, and they're young, talented options, as opposed to bringing a guy back because he's married to the greatest Olympian, the greatest Olympic gymnast of all time.
Is the greatest Olympian ever? Like Phelpsy, and I think Simone's got to be right
Ledecky.
There.
Katie
Ledecky. Yeah.
Those have got to be like top three. We're talking Mount Rushmore.
Eric Heiden.
Let's not get Pommy, though. I don't want to be Pommy. Jesse Owens got to be up there.
Yes.
We're not going to put Jesse Owens in there. We're like, let's not palm all this stuff.
Carl Lewis?
Yeah. Well, again, you have to factor he didn't go against the Soviets in 84.
I feel like we've stumbled onto something that you'd really love to do more on. Is that true or not?
You call me a moron?
More.
You missyllabilized asphalt.
Don't
moron.
Be an asphalt about it. All right, we need to get to Woe Riley. I know he's very eager to impress Katie's dad and our listeners with what he's got.
Is there somebody in the 70s that popped that we're forgetting about? Because Carl Lewis is in the conversation. I don't know if Carl Lewis meets this. I don't know.
I would say that he is in the conversation.
Simone's
yes.
got, what, 8 golds, right?
I will have to fact check that. Jackie Joyner-Kersee, think, would be in there.
Yeah.
There's a few others, but... yeah, I think Phelpsy.
All right, so Simone and Phelpsy are lock stockers, and then the other two spots are open for debate. Is that kind of where we're at?
No, wait a minute. You said Simone and Phelpsy.
Yep.
You just left Jesse Owens off.
Well, I think Jesse Owens needs to be in there, but
yes, I don't think that's for debate either. We only got
okay,
one.
Okay, so
spot
we only got
then.
One spot left.
Yeah, if we're talking most gold medals too, you talk 1970s. Mark Spitz.
Spitzy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want two swimmers in there, though. Swimming, you get more medals because there's 150 events. You're like third leg of a relay. It's like, I'll throw him
so
in there.
So Phelpsy over Ledecky, and now also we're going to leave Spitzy off the list.
I don't know if we can put Spitzy in there.
What about Ray Eury?
Never heard of it.
He apparently had polio. He was paralyzed by polio as a child, developed strength in his legs, and then became one of the most decorated Olympians in the standing jumps. He won 3 golds in both the 1900 Paris Summer Olympics and 1904 St. Louis Summer Olympics. We're going way back.
I don't know. Okay, we'll have to think on that. Ledecky's got to be in the conversation, too. I just feel like you can't just go off of medals, though.
All right, so here we have... I'm sorry, we're going to do this now. Here are the most gold medals in American history.
Phelpsy's won.
Amy Van Dyken and Simone Biles have 6 apiece now.
Okay.
Ryan Lochte has 6.
No.
Allison Felix has 7.
Okay.
Caleb Dressel... whose work I am not familiar with, men's 4x100 freestyle.
Can you give me the quick Simone Biles? So she won it 8 years ago, didn't win it 4 years ago, and just won it now.
Correct. No, I'm not gonna. I don't really want to give her bio again because there's a couple other people we need to get to. Katie Ledecky has 8. Jenny Thompson has 8. Carl Lewis has 9 gold medals. I understand 4 of them came at the LA Olympics when there were no Russian competitors, but he's still got 9 total gold medals.
Carl Lewis, a dog.
Mark Spitz with 9, Phelps with 23.
Yeah, Phelps knocks Spitz out the equation.
Okay.
The question is, are you going to go Ledecky or Carl Lewis? I can't go with so many swimmers, though. I can't.
And Carl Lewis can sing the national anthem while we do our announcements of who's on the thing. All right, we need to get to Woe Riley. I don't want to eat up any more of his time because his future father-in-law, what did we call him, Mr. Duwat, is waiting.
You can call him whatever you want. I don't know his last name.
I still don't understand what you made up. You'll have to explain that to me off the air. I want to remind you, though, I hope you never have to make the call.
414-276-6666. One call, that's all. That's David Gruber and Gruber Law Offices. Hope you never have to make it, because that means you've never been seriously injured in an accident. But if that happens, you need to have the best in the business on your side, and that's what Gruber Law Offices is. So go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more about the firm, all the great lawyers there, and, of course, everything they do in the community, or make the call. One call, that's all, 414-276-6666, Gruber Law Offices. Will Riley is next. It's Will Dean Tausch. Before we get to Will Riley, Riley needs to pick a winner from our trivia winners for the week.
Ooh, all righty. Here we go. The winner of trivia for this week is AJ in Sheboygan. Congratulations.
Is that your game show voice?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
What was that?
I don't know. Whoa.
Is it good or not really?
Irrelevant.
No, that's the show with Alex Strofe. Time now for Whoa, Riley.
Guys Discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
Alrighty, as I hinted at before, this is gonna be wrestling, combat sports adjacent. So as you know, I do jiu-jitsu. I grew up in a wrestling family, and I'm a huge UFC fan. And one thing that's very common in all of those sports is cauliflower ear. And last week, I was suffering from a nice spat of cauliflower ear, you could say. It had swollen up to the size of, I don't know, maybe a grape or something like that. It was blocking my ear canal, and it was really annoying. So I got it drained, hence this little AirPod type thing.
Yuck.
I think you can see it on the video stream right
yes,
now.
Yes, sweet. Yes, I can.
I just wanted to make sure. there's dried blood on it. It sucks. Anyway, so what I learned through this
Thank
whole,
you for turning the camera.
Of course. Of course. And I just realized I never turned down the music. That's okay.
It's because you can't hear it because you're cauliflower.
No, exactly. My hearing is blocked. But
why
anyways,
is it cauliflower, not broccoli?
Probably looks more, maybe because it looks more like cauliflower than broccoli. I don't know. Just
pretty
like
sure that's why.
Florette ear. I don't know. I don't know what you can call
that's
it.
That's not bad. That was okay. That's going to go underrated there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyways, I realized because I grew up and have thought cauliflower ear was really cool. It was like a sign of like, oh yeah, this guy's tough. Like he has cauliflower ear. And I realized, as you can see by Jason's face, no one else thinks it's cool. If you're not a wrestler, you don't do jiu-jitsu, you're
Did
not
you think
an MMA.
Pee in your pants is cool too?
Oh my gosh. No! No one else thinks that deformed, grotesque ears are cool, apparently. It has been a travesty to discover that. And I just wanted to ask you guys, was there something you thought was cool that you realized no one else thinks is cool? Because that's been cauliflower ear for me.
Not to the same degree, and I think I always kind of knew that cow manure wasn't cool, but what I always knew is cow manure meant that our bills were getting paid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I always, like, the smell of cow manure bothers a lot of people, but to this day when I smell it, I smile. Is that sick?
Mm.
Maybe a little bit, but it's not, because it paid the bills. So from a cauliflower standpoint, I don't know of anybody, wrestlers, anybody else that thought, boy, I like me some cauliflower ear. I never heard that before. But I'm sure people probably think when I said that about cow manure, they probably are thinking, oh, old T, you're crazy too. And you know what? That's what makes this world go round. We all have our little crazy quirks. And how did they say that in Good Will Hunting? It's who you let in on with those quirks. That makes it
idiosyncrasies, peccadillos, yeah.
Robin Williams, thank you. Thank you, Tausch.
All right, so
he had cauliflower ear.
I don't think that's true, actually.
Tausch, so you can tell the difference between, I think, when I think of cow manure, there's like good-smelling cow manure, and then there's like worse-smelling cow manure. I feel like it depends sometimes.
Now, pig poop stinks worse, and then chicken blank is even worse.
Okay.
Give me cow manure.
Okay.
if I'm ranking my menorahs.
That's where we're at today on Wilde and Tausch. I want you to have time for
one
more.
Is there a harder sport than water polo? Like, you don't have a ledge to lean on. Like, if you're talking just straight endurance, I don't know if water polo, boy, that seems like it would be a bear. And then goaltending, yeah, you got to tread water forever, yeah, back
then. You got to do a scissors kick to get up in the air to block those high throws. Yeah, I don't know how they do it. It's incredible. I love having you watching television. Riley, all I'm going to say is...
It's the first Olympics I've been watching, too.
Ever? Goal.
No. Of this stretch, because we were gone. I didn't get really a chance. I wanted to watch Simone last night, but we didn't get home in time.
Cauliflower ear. Whoa, Riley.
Whoa, Nelly!
So you thought cauliflower ear was cool, Jason?
I just thought it was disgusting. Bad cases. I'm glad yours is minor, because I'm curious if Katie finds it appealing.
No,
and if it worsened.
She does not.
If you might not have to worry about the engagement.
I'll say this. Cauliflower, I think, has made a nice little comeback, because now, you know, when you're eating a little healthier, you can replace potatoes with cauliflower.
Sure.
And you got cauliflower crust pizza.
Cauliflower mash. They make crust out of cauliflower. It has not made the jump that Brussels sprouts have. Brussels sprouts are now, like, renowned as, like, a great tasting. They smother it in bacon grease.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, and I don't think broccoli has come on board with that. I think cauliflower and Brussels sprouts have marketed themselves markedly better than broccoli.
I would agree. Anyway.
This has been your Cauliflower Minutes with Mark Tauscher.
On another note, Jason, I know you're an Oregon fan. I've been in my sports centers. I've been talking about the Big Ten officially expanding. I don't know if you have seen this, but Puddles the Duck has been making his way across the Big Ten. Have you guys seen that on Twitter?
No, I just saw the big duck floaty in the lake or in the river in Indianapolis for the meetings.
Okay, well, Puddles the Duck, the Oregon mascot, has been taking pictures outside of every Big Ten stadium, usually a gate, and it'll say, "Let me in." And UWPD caught him on their security cameras taking pictures outside of Camp Randall. So I just want your thoughts on that. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I hope we kick that duck's keister and send his keister back to Oregon, whenever that is, in October.
Yeah, I don't really care who wins. I just want both teams to have fun. I would say this. Recently, some other people took pictures out in front of Camp Randall Stadium. That would be Madison and Sydney underneath the Mark Tauscher banner.
Oh!
Which is out. Like, you, I understand you don't like it when we're talking about how great you were and all this other stuff, and no one's saying you were great in college because you only played that one season of real starting action.
Nobody said you were a good journalist in college either.
I don't know if that's true.
I talked to the Badger Herald people. They said you sucked. So,
This was going to be a nice moment, and now it's been ruined because we had
you started it.
I started it. Yeah, that's how you were with your brothers, I'm sure, as well. There's a very prominent banner with Tausch on it, and the girls saw it when we were there for Sydney going to the Badger volleyball camp, and the two of them insisted on getting their picture taken under
respect
that banner.
Respect to your two kids. They've been raised in a really great way.
By great parents,
yep,
clearly, their father.
The best parents in Brown County is what I've been told.
I don't know if it's limited to Brown County. I think it's more
northeastern
Wisconsin.
No, it's limited to Brown County. There's a family in Outagamie County that would kick your keister when it comes to parenting.
Do they do WBA awards for best parenting in Brown County?
that would be easy. That would be harder to win than a WBA award. All right, so I need to get out of here to go pick up one of my children from one of her activities while Paula takes the other one.
He's a foy. Father OE.
Well, as long as I do better than your depoy picks did and your Madden cover picks. So we need to do Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. I'm going to turn that over to Riley and Tausch to do. Want to remind you before I go that you can take it to the bank that whether you're the best parent in Brown County or out of Gamey County or you're just so-so, make sure you sign up for Associated Bank as your bank, because then you get the undisputed best customer service in the industry. They've got the real awards to prove it, and of course they've also got Packers checking and early pay, where you get access to your money up to 2 days early with your direct deposit. So go to associatedbank.com to find out
more. Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. While Tausch is smiling at the text chain that I'm not able to be part of because I'm busy doing the radio show, we will do Feel Good Friday without me next, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wrapping up Wilde and Tausch with, like we do every Friday, it's Feel Good Friday presented by Holman Lindsay Paints. And mine's simple. My son is in hockey. And I think one of the cool things about hockey, you keep playing and you keep playing. And what Ryan Suter and the entire Suter Foundation has done over at Cap Ice in Middleton, they continue to do a game with a bunch of different Wisconsin alumni and different hockey players from around. They play a game. They raise a bunch of money to help kids that can't afford to get into hockey, whether it's some of the equipment and whatnot. And they did that again on Wednesday night down there, another successful event at Cap Ice. And kudos to Ryan and Pavelski and Burr, all the guys that come back, give their time to help raise a little money for those that need it in the hockey community. So kudos to those guys. Excited for Family Night, which is tomorrow. We will cover that. Well, I'm sure we'll overanalyze it. We'll do that on Monday, see how the kicking game went. But I'm really interested in the fireworks. Wilde will have a full report. He'll be up there. For everybody else, thanks this week for listening. We appreciate it, and we will be back on Monday. It's Wilde and Tausch.